It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 18th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Chipmaking giant Intel continues its developers conference in San Francisco this week. We've got a little more information on the company's new virtual reality headset. It's called Project Alloy. We may not be there yet, but virtual reality, augmented reality, really all the realities are expected to be huge moneymakers in the tech world. When will those expectations become, you know, real reality? Somewhere in that magical mix between consumer adoption, better software, and less clunky hardware. That last part is where Intel hopes its Project Alloy will push things forward. Bridget Carlin is managing director of Intel's Internet of Things strategy. Bridget, the idea here is that the headset has sensors inside it, so you don't have separate sensors watching your movements in the room?
Exactly. Sense your environmental activities, and you no longer need to be tethered.
So this headset is supposedly merged reality. Now, I've heard augmented reality. I've heard mixed reality. What the heck is merged reality supposed to be?
We want to basically take virtual reality where you are sort of imagining in yourself into a completely different mode and take the be able to toggle back through your physical reality. And what we've done here is merge the two together.
But I mean, is it cut off from the world that you're actually standing in or not?
No, you are able to toggle back and forth into the world you're physically standing in.
You can choose between one and the other.
That's correct.
Bridget Carlin of Intel. Quick note on Cisco, the company that has been bullish on the Internet of Things, confirmed rumors of cuts this week. It is cutting 7% of its global workforce, aka about 5,500 jobs, part of the company's transition from hardware to the modern world where software rules. Cisco heads say restructuring will start next year. What would you say if I told you that a computer, not a person, was going to look at your biopsy to judge the severity of your disease? You might say something that I can't say on the radio, but a recent study from Stanford University looked at whether machines might actually be better than humans at predicting the kind or severity of lung cancer. And guess what?
So we think the human should be completely taken out of the equation.
Michael Snyder is professor of genetics at Stanford. The problem is that, according to Snyder, pathologists disagree about diagnoses 60% of the time. Computers can be more exacting. Snyder and the other authors of the study have started out by giving computers major input.
So we have to train them. And then with that, they'll go in and actually take a set of samples and be able to analyze them.
Well, a computer pathologist won't likely put human pathologists out of work. Snyder thinks one will be a key tool for the other.
My own guess is that this will spread like wildfire, though. These things will take over within the next few years because I think the performance will be better than humans.
Better performance in diagnostics for patients facing life or death decisions. We posted more on this from our Twitter account. We are at Marketplace Tech. This month, the Mars Curiosity rover turned 4 years old, which means the project has lasted 3 years longer as a fully operational rover tooling around the red planet than its builders ever expected. To celebrate, we called up a guy who should have helped blow out the birthday candles, assuming NASA and company baked a Curiosity cake here on Earth. Nathan Bridges is co-investigator on the Mars rover Curiosity mission. Nathan, thanks for chatting.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Can you give me the hits of the first 4 years, the milestones of the rover's life thus far?
Sure. The rocks that we've investigated are more than 100 feet thick deposits that were formed by an ancient lake. That's indicating that there was water on Mars in the form of a lake that lasted potentially for millions to tens of millions of years.
Tell me a little bit about your work day. I understand you used to try to work on a Martian day when you were first following the mission, and that proved a little bit challenging.
Right. And generally, when we land a new spacecraft on Mars, we kind of try to do what Mars tells us to do and live a day as it is on Mars. And the challenge for that is that the Martian day is about 40 minutes longer than the day on Earth. So basically, each day we would start 40 minutes later. But fortunately, we only did that for a short time, and then we went back to Earth time.
How do you feel about the film and the book, The Martian? Did it seem, was it relatable to you as someone who works with this stuff directly?
Well, somewhat. You know, in the movie, he actually drive over and get the Pathfinder rover, which was the first rover that I actually worked on when I started my career.
And he strips it for parts, right?
That's right. Yeah. So I guess I felt bad they had to rip it up for parts, but I was glad to see that original Pathfinder rover back on the big screen.
The big question that a lot of people are hoping to answer eventually is whether there was at some point life on Mars, right?
Right.
Why is that so important to us on a planet, as near as we can tell, is essentially dead?
Mars today is not as Earth-like as it once was. So if we did find that there was life on Mars in the past, you know, that would kind of force us to try to understand why the life on Mars stopped, you know, why the climate changed, and what conditions led to that.
Nathan Bridges, he is co-investigator on the Mars rover Curiosity mission. Nathan, congratulations, 4 years in. Well done.
Thank you.
By the way, on the next rover mission in 2020, engineers hope to attach some audio recording equipment. You can bet we will play you some of that tape. You just got to wait a little while. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.